Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. I, Larry Mueller here. If you're looking for an easy way to start gardening, I think we've got you covered today. We'll be talking about straw bale gardening on the show, and our guest is Joel Karsten. He's the author of The Straw Bale Gardening Method, and he's written a number of best-selling books on the topic. I have one right next to me, as a matter of fact. What are your questions about straw bale gardens? Have straw bales changed the way you garden? Join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Again, love to hear from you. Joel Karsten, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Mr. Larry Mueller, it's a pleasure to be with you.
I tell you what, for those who might not have heard about straw bale gardening, give us a quick overview.
Sure. Well, first of all, sometimes when people see a straw bale garden, they think that people are growing vegetables in straw, but they're not. They're actually growing vegetables in recently decomposed straw. So that's an important thing for people to understand, is that these are not just normal bales of straw you put out and you plant. First, we have to go through a conditioning process, which begins the decomposition internally in that bale. And that works because of insects and worms and fungi and mold. And then the heavy lifter is bacteria that grows inside that bale. We foster that growth by the conditioning process. And very quickly, that bacteria begins to metabolize the straw and break the straw back down into the nutrients that created the straw. So now once we have nutrients inside that bale, it's kind of biologically it's similar to early stage soil. Now we can plant vegetables. That process takes about 2 weeks normally, and then you're able to plant vegetables. And during that time, it'll get really warm, really hot inside the bales. And then they cool down, and then you can go ahead and plant. So it's kind of like raised bed gardening. It's kind of like container gardening, but you don't have to buy bags of potting mix, and you don't have to build a container. It all comes with a straw bale. And you just leave the strings on. You set the bale out where you want to have your garden. And you do some fertilizer and water on it for a couple of weeks, and shazam, you got a garden ready to plant.
And it's a good one for people who have little or no gardening experience, I think.
Yeah, it's great for beginners. I get a lot of very beginner gardeners that really love it because there isn't all the prep work. You know, number one, you don't have to own a lot of property or land to do this. You know, we're going to talk a little bit here how you can do this in your driveway if you want to. You don't really have to own any tools, Larry, because once you get the bales in position, there's no digging or hoeing or raking. There's no weeds. Basically, you can get by with a pruning shears probably for most of your planting. Maybe a trowel to do some planting into the bales if you wanted to do that. But otherwise, you don't really need tools. You know, there's a lot less problems with soil-borne insects and diseases. So I'm not saying there's no insect or disease problems, but there's less soil-borne insect and disease problems, which can become an issue. If you have a real small lot and you have a garden and you get tomato blight in that section of your garden,
yeah,
you're kind of out of luck. You know, you got to find another spot to grow your tomatoes or do them in containers or something. Where with straw bales, you just put the tomatoes in the top of that bale. As long as they never touch the soil, you're not going to spread that disease. So a lot of advantages there.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think are the common mistakes that first-timers make?
The number one biggest mistake new straw bale gardeners make is they overwater. It's very common to do that because normally in your garden, if you turn the hose on and it gets to be puddles in your garden, you're going to say, oh, I've overwatered, or I've watered too long, right? I watered too much. But in the straw bales, the water runs down through the bales. So it's kind of hard to see. There's no puddles created around your plants. But if you overwater, what that'll do is it leaches through the bale, and it'll carry with it any soluble nutrients. So that's the number one thing I tell people is whenever you water, just put 1 gallon of water on each bale. And you can kind of figure that out with a stopwatch and your spigot. You know, if you get 2 gallons a minute, and for every minute your hose runs, you're going to get 2 gallons. So if you got 10 bales and you want a gallon on each bale, it's only 5 minutes of water. But many people will call me and they'll say, man, I've been watering my garden for an hour a day and it doesn't look good. And I'll say, that's because you're putting cold water. You're washing all the bacteria and all the new soil that's forming inside this bale. You're washing it all out of the bale. So you got to slow down or stop that watering and you'll see your garden recover very quickly. And that's usually what happens. So overwatering is number one. Number two is overplanting. They plant too much stuff. because when you bring it home from the garden center, those tomato plants look pretty tiny. So they'll put two or three of them in a bale. But by the time that tomato plant gets mature, you know, it's 8 feet tall and it's 8 feet wide, and it's trying to compete. Its root system's trying to compete for moisture with two other plants, and you end up with the same number of tomatoes as if you just put one in that bale anyway. So overplanting is very common. That's the second probably biggest mistake. It's not really, you know, anything detrimental. You still get a great garden, but certain crops will shade out other crops or will, you know, absorb the moisture that was intended for another crop. You certainly can plant more than one thing in a bale, but you got to kind of avoid putting two crops that use the same space. You know, tomatoes are going to crawl up on a trellis and go sideways. Well, you could put carrots on that same bale, but you can't put two tomatoes.
Yeah, I learned that lesson several years back. For me, it's one tomato plant on a bale for sure. Carol in Oconomowoc, we'll give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I started a straw bale garden last year after gardening in a 30 by 60 garden for 50 years before that. And I was so thrilled to see the results initially. I planted two small dwarf tomatoes on top with a dwarf cucumber in between. I did use potting soil on the top of the bale. I watered with jugs, and so that I didn't overwater. However, I would say about 2.5-3 weeks into the process, I went out one day and I noticed a lovely, fluffy, pink mold at the base of the tomato plant. Now, I'm part of a community garden with 10 other people, so I immediately just tore everything down and got rid of the bale and put it in bags so that I didn't contaminate anybody else's garden. So I might be overwatering, but I'm only using that 1 gallon because I use gallon milk jugs to water.
Yep. Yeah, fungi is very common. You get mushrooms that'll sprout out all over on your bale, all different kinds of mushrooms. And in 99% of cases, one's called dog vomit, which looks like a scrambled egg mushroom. And another one is inky tops or inky caps. And there's several different varieties, but all those are is decomposers. So they send mycelium, which are going down inside the bale. That's kind of like the root of the mushroom. And those are helping to decompose that straw and break it down. Other than the spores maybe flying around in the wind and spreading their spores onto, you know, a soil or other bales or even onto the plants, the inky caps will get kind of a black ink that'll get on some of the lower leaves of the plants that are nearby. But it's very soluble. It washes off, you know, you take your hose and you can wash them right off of the leaves. Other than that, they really don't cause any damage at all. You shouldn't eat the mushrooms. I encourage people, especially if you don't know what they are, you know, certainly don't eat them. But there's a whole chapter in my last book about how we purposely grow mushrooms in straw bales. So you can actually use one to cultivate mainly oyster mushrooms. Oysters and wine caps, we found, have done well. So we purposely put spawn on the bales. There's a little process you got to go through to first pasteurize the straw, and then you put spawn on the bale, covered up with plastic. In 2 weeks, you get little sprouts, little flower heads of the mushroom, and then you pull the plastic off, and you get 5 gallon pails full of oyster mushrooms off of your straw bale. So we can purposely grow mushrooms on them. So you may have preempted taking the garden, the straw bale garden down, because I don't think really it would have spread or hurt anything at all in the garden. But I understand the community garden, there's probably some rules. So.
Yeah, there you go, Carol. I guess I wouldn't have worried too much about it myself, but I understand why you would be, you know, especially in that situation, why you might be worried. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Leslie in Cottage Grove will give you a chance. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, thank you. We tried straw bale gardening last year for our tomatoes, and it worked fabulously. No blight until the very end, and that was probably me contaminating it. Now we have these bales. Can we reuse them specifically as mulch underneath, say, squash plants? I don't know whether we'd be carrying any pathogens around. Or perhaps grow carrots or potatoes in it.
Sure. Yes, Leslie. You certainly can use them at least 2 years. So what I would encourage you, you'll see that they're kind of collapsed and you know, kind of misshapen at this point. They've shrunk down a little bit. What I do with mine is I'll take two bales and push them together into one. And then I wrap both of those bales with chicken wire. You know what chicken wire is? And then overlap the ends of the chicken wire and staple with your staple gun, staple onto a wooden stake, those two overlapped ends. And then twist the stake. And you can twist that even with a big pliers. You twist that stake, and that'll make like a clamp around those bales, and it tightens it up real nice. So you don't have to have any strings anymore around the bales, and the bales won't be square anymore. They'll kind of turn into a round pod, sort of. And then I use that for all my root crops, my potatoes and carrots and beets. Any root crops really love that environment. Or you can do any cold season or cool season vegetables. Remember that the first year bales get warm, they get hot, and that's part of the advantage of straw bale gardening, because for warm season crops like tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers, they love that warmth, where cool season crops like the second year bales, because those aren't going to get warm the second year. You don't need to do any conditioning again, just kind of squeeze them together. Sometimes I'll put a little bit of nitrogen fertilizer on top just because they got rained on and snowed on all winter. And some of that nitrogen is probably, because it's so soluble, it's probably leached out of that media. So you want to replace all of that. But all the rest of your nutrients, all your phosphorus, potassium, molybdenum, zinc, calcium, iron, manganese, all those are still in that media. And you'll get nice drainage if you push those bales up together and you get a nice at least 12 or 15 inches of straw depth, you'll get really good drainage and a great place for those root crops to develop. You'll get carrots that'll astound you how tall they'll be. It'll be 15-inch long carrots coming out of there. So you're going to love the results from that.
There you go, Leslie. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And I think that method is in your book, too. It's photos and so forth of the method that you use.
Right, yeah, the second-year straw bale. Yeah, we show people how to make that second-year bale. And, you know, you can also use, you know, if you've got leaves and you got grass clippings from your lawnmower, as long as you didn't spray it in on your lawn, you can put all that stuff and put it all into a great big Rubbermaid bin, you know, a square Rubbermaid bin. And you stomp it down, you get up on top of there and do a little dance on top, stomp it all down. And then I like to put a rock on it and fill it up with water overnight. And then the next morning you tip that square out and you'll have a nice square bale, and then wrap some chicken wire around that and do the same thing. You staple it on a stake. I like to let the sharp end of the stake stick out the bottom about 6 or 8 inches, Larry. And then once I get that stake tight, then I pound that sharp end in the ground with a hammer. And then I don't need to fasten it at all. It just stays in position nice and tight. So they're like miniature little compost bins. You know, we call this method straw bale gardening, but it's a little elusive because you can use any organic material that will decompose. And remember, everything eventually decomposes. Even us, believe it or not, we eventually become the molecules that created us, just like trees do, just like grass clippings and leaves and straw bales. The reason it's called straw bale gardening method is because that's what I started with, because it was a cheap, easy, portable, organic material that stays bound together with just two strings. Now, that wouldn't work if you have grass clippings because they're too short. They don't have the structure to them, so you got to put that chicken wire around it to make those bales. But when people tell me I can't find straw bales where I live, there's no straw bales, I say, you can make your own bales. This is not a difficult thing. You know, it takes 5 minutes to make one. As long as you got a couple bags of leaves and a couple bags of grass clippings, you know, you can throw other stuff in there. Your Valentine's Day flowers that are dead, throw those in there. You can throw your tulips once those are spent. If you're not going to have them come back the next year, you can pull the tops off, throw them in that bin. Anything that will decompose will become soil someday. And we're just going to accelerate that process by making these little miniature compost bins, and then we plant our vegetables in it. You'll be amazed at the results you get. Some of these homemade bales even give me better performance than my straw bales do. So, you know, they have a nice mix of nutrients in there.
Joel Karsten, our guest today, talking with him about straw bale gardening. Jane Rotunda, our producer. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network and Garden Talk. Taking a look at straw bale gardening on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Joel Karsten, written a number of books on straw bale gardens, and it's always fun to talk with him. He's got lots of great enthusiasm. You can join in, 800-642-1234, the number, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Christopher in Madison, we'll go to you now. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for calling. Let's see. Christopher, are you there in Madison?
Yes, I am. I have two questions. I've been straw bale gardening for a couple of years. Sometimes it takes a longer time than just 2 weeks. Can I put sheets of plastic over the top of my bales after I've watered them so that the sun could heat them up and help them decompose faster? And the second question is, I came across some 40-0-0 formula fertilizer, super only nitrogen. Is it okay to use that as a conditioning agent for my bales?
Great questions, Christopher. Very good questions. First one, the plastic over the bales. It's actually something I encourage people, if they write me and they're worried about their bales, they haven't gotten warm, and what should I do? They're not decomposing. Cover them up with, you can just use black garbage bags, you know, like leaf collection bags. You don't even have to cut them or anything like that. Just drape them over the bales, tuck them under the strings on the sides, and let the sun warm that surface of that bale up, and you'll see that sort of sparks the bacteria growth inside the bale. And you only need to do it for a couple days. And once that bale gets started warming up, then the bacteria, once it begins to colonize the bale, it'll heat up the bale itself. So then you can take the plastic bags off and you can still use them so you don't waste them. And the other question was about the fertilizer. You're probably talking about urea, more than likely, 4600. Yes, you can use it, but use it at half the rate that I recommend, because I'm talking about fertilizer that has about 20, 24%, 25% nitrogen, which is a most common lawn fertilizers. If you're doing it non-organically, you're going to use a lawn fertilizer. Most of them are about 24, 25, something like that. So that's the rates I give you. If you're using urea, you can actually get by with half as much. Just make sure when you're using urea that you didn't buy it at a farmer's elevator and it's coated urea. You don't want that. That's what they sell to corn farmers, and it dissolves, those pellets dissolve real slowly over the summer to feed that corn crop nitrogen throughout the season. We don't want those because we want it to dissolve quickly. We want the cheap stuff. That's what I tell people when they go to buy fertilizer, look for the cheap stuff because that's what you want. You don't want the expensive stuff because that's going to be slow release or time release. So you want to avoid that. But one quick thing I want to talk about. Every time you look on a bag of fertilizer, now when you buy it, it always says on there, contains slow-release nitrogen. And that's a sales marketing tactic that fertilizer companies use nowadays. What you want to look at carefully is on the back of the bag, there'll be an analysis tag. And right below that, it'll give you the percentage of nitrogen in that bag that is slow-release. And as long as that's under 20%, which it is almost all the time, unless you buy the really expensive name brands, those will have a lot of slow-release nitrogen. But otherwise, the cheap stuff or the store brands, they always have, you know, 9% slow-release nitrogen. That means 91% of it is fast-release, and that's perfect for us. We just want to feed those bacteria. And what bacteria eat is nitrogen. So in order to get them to colonize quickly, we want to jumpstart them with a little nitrogen.
There you go, Christopher. Thank you for calling. Donna in Milwaukee, we turn to you now. Hi, Donna.
Hi. This is the first year I'm trying to do a straw bale garden. I can't talk today. Do I still have to give it nutrients even though I let it winter out?
Yes, you do, Donna. And the reason is because there's a ratio of carbon to nitrogen that we need to get to inside that bale. Now, if it sits out over the winter, there's going to be some snow and some rain on it. And rain, believe it or not, has a lot of nitrogen in it. Remember, our air is 74% or 72% nitrogen. So there's some nitrogen in rainwater when it rains. And it will absorb some nitrogen from the soil. If you have that bale sitting on the soil, you can see nitrogen depletion in the soil below that bale. So the bacteria will suck up nitrogen. But we still need to add some. What I tell people is if you follow our protocol, do the first three applications and then check the temperature of your bales. If your bales are really hot, you know, above 100 degrees, you stick your hand in there and it feels warm, then you can skip the last three applications. But if you did them, it wouldn't matter anyway. You know, it's not going to hurt anything to add a little bit more. But you definitely need to add some. Your bales would eventually decompose without adding that, but it's just going to take a lot longer. And if you plant into a bale before it's fully conditioned, you're going to be in trouble because it's going to suck the nitrogen out of the roots of your transplants because it's looking for a source of nitrogen. That bacteria is seeking nitrogen. So it's gonna suck the nitrogen out of that plant, and it'll turn your tomatoes yellow immediately, and it'll kill them very quickly. So then you plant another one in there. It might kill another one. And then plant the third one. By that time, the bale's good in condition because it ate the first two tomatoes, and the third one will grow like crazy. But you can avoid that by making sure you do the conditioning process to begin with. So I hope that answers your question. But, yeah, leaving them out all winter, that's what I do with mine, actually. I buy them in the fall when they're cheaper, the straw bales, and then set them out where I want to have them the next spring. But I still do the conditioning process in the spring.
Here you go, Donna. Thank you so much. Bob in Stevens Point, it's your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I tuned in late. Exactly what is this conditioning process you were just talking about? I mean, I know you got to put fertilizer and water on it, but I don't know how often or how far apart or anything.
Yep. We want to add, depending on, you know, whether you're doing this organically. If you want to do it organically, I encourage you to use blood meal. That works really well. We also make a product called Bale Buster. If you look it up, you'll see that. And, or you can do it using traditional method. We have a traditional Bale Buster as well. Or you can buy any lawn fertilizer at the garden center. As long as it doesn't have any weed killer in it. You know, make sure you don't buy weed and feed or something like that. And you're going to end up using about 2 1/4 cups. Of lawn fertilizer. If you're doing organic, you're going to end up using blood meal about 7 cups per bale is what it takes to make this work. So, and it's really about the percentage of nitrogen and how available that nitrogen is. You're going to put it on every other day and then water as well. You know, we have a very specific protocol for how to do it. But you can get that on our website, you know, strawbalegardenclub.com is a great website you can go to. And we got videos that will show you exactly how to do it. Every day, exactly what to put on. But if you miss a day or if you have to do it a day early or a day late, it's not super precise. We have to give you a protocol to follow, but just get as close as you can. By the time you get to the end of that 12 days, sometimes it'll take a little longer if you've had cool weather. Sometimes it doesn't take quite as long if you've had nice warm weather like this year. But your bales will be ready. You'll know they're ready when they've heated up and then they've cooled down. As soon as they cool down, you put your hand inside that bale, and it feels tepid or cool to your hand, then it's done, and then it's finished conditioning, and you can go ahead and plant. Don't plant if it feels hot inside that bale because you'll burn the roots of your transplants. You know, sometimes it can get 150 degrees inside that bale, and you wouldn't want to put a tomato in there when it's that hot. You just cook the tomato. Within 24 hours, it'd be dead. So wait till it's cooled down, and then, you know, as long as it's under 100 degrees, you can put your transplants. If you're doing seeds, you need to make a seed bed on top of the bale. Now, don't take your shovel over to your garden and put a shovel of soil on top of the bale, because if you do that, you just brought all your problems with you. Now you got weed seeds again in that bale. You got disease and insect problems, and we don't want those. So use a bag of sterile planting mix that you bought at the garden center. Usually they're soilless mix. You put that on top. It's like rotted wood bark, and it's got peat moss and stuff in it. Spread that out. Wash it in a little bit with your into your sprayer, into your hose, and put another little thin layer so you get a nice transition from the top where you put your seeds, your tiny seeds like carrots and beets, in the top. We plant in a grid pattern on top, not in rows like a normal garden, but kind of like a checkerboard. And then those roots are easily able to transition down into the bale. If you just make one layer and you don't wash it in, then it's hard for those roots to follow that potting mix down into the bale. So make sure you water it in a little bit, and you'll have great success with that. So really all the conditioning is about feeding the bacteria, you can't see this process, which is what drives people crazy, because you can't see them grow, but you got to trust me on this. When that bale gets hot, that's a sign that those bacteria are reproducing and colonizing the inside of that bale. Very common for me to get questions from people, my bales aren't getting hot. What do I do? Really, you could cover them with the black plastic, which we already did the black plastic bags. That'll help jumpstart them a little bit. But don't worry about it. Even if your bales don't get 140 or 130 degrees, the core, the center of that bale is growing bacteria. If you're adding a little water, a little moisture, 1 gallon of moisture per application, and then that nitrogen source, either the blood meal or the fertilizer, there's nothing else in the world that can happen except that bacteria are going to grow. It's just part of biology. It's natural. All decomposition always happens exactly the same way. So those bacteria are going to grow. Now, if you had a microscope, You can see all kinds of stuff happening down in there. But if you don't have a microscope, you're not going to see a lot. By the time you go to plant, you're going to think, man, this strawberry gardening guy is crazy. There's nothing happening in this bale. It looks exactly like the straw it did 2 weeks ago. But you got to trust me. Once that temperature has dropped, now there's available nutrients. Now you can put your plants or your seeds in there, and there's going to be nutrients for those roots when they get down into that bale.
There you go, Bob. Thank you so much for calling. Laura in Columbus, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Joel and Larry. It's so great to talk to you today because this is perfect timing. I am just about to lay out my straw bale garden for the year, and I have a big question. I did my first straw bale garden 2 years ago and had the best crop of tomatoes I've ever had in my life. Last year, I took all that debris and raked it into a trough and grew the best crop of pole beans I've ever had in my life. But I put down some new straw bales last year and within about a month had late blight. Now, I'm wondering this year, how far away do I need to put my bales to make sure that they are free of that infestation, or can I plant them in the same place?
Okay, that's a really good question, and it's hard to answer precisely, but let me ask a couple questions. First of all, Laura, do you use gardening gloves when you garden?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't use gardening gloves when you touch your tomato plants from now on, because if those gardening gloves have ever touched soil and that soil has the blight in it, then it gets embedded in the fibers of your gardening gloves. And when you go and touch that tomato plant, you spread it yourself to that plant. So this is what my grandma Josephine always told us. When we head to the garden, we get a bar of ivory soap going out the door, and you scratch that bar of ivory soap so you get soap under your fingernails. And then you go first to the tomatoes, and we pick tomatoes, or we restring up the branches or whatever we needed to do. And then we do the other gardening project where we get our hands in the dirt. And then when we come in the house, we wash our hands, and then dirt would come out from under our fingernails because of that soap that was under the fingernail. And it keeps even the dirt that gets under your fingernails. You don't think about that. But if you touch a tomato plant and that has spores in that little bit of dirt under your fingernails, you can spread it to that plant. So just be really careful. Also, with any tools you use, if you're using a pruning shears, make sure you clean that pruning shears. A little 10% bleach solution, dunk it in there, wipe it off a little bit, and then go to prune your tomatoes, and you'll keep from spreading. If you go from one tomato plant to another, they say, I don't even do this in my own garden, but they say you're supposed to dunk it between plants as well. So that's just a little precaution for you, and it's one of the reasons I tell people, if you wear gardening gloves for everything else, don't wear them when you touch your tomatoes.
So Laura could put the plants, the bales in the same spot then?
Same spot. Yep. That's not, there are people that speculate that it's airborne. Well, if it's airborne, you can put it at your neighbor's house and it's not going to do any good. I don't think there's much of it that's airborne. And especially if you have something covering the soil surface around the bales, I'm talking about like a thin layer of wood chips, or if you, we give different ideas, upside down old carpeting, or, a landscape fabric, if you want to spend the money on that. People will use 6 or 7 layers of newspaper or cardboard boxes, and then they put a little wood chips or grass clippings or something over it. That's a good idea to separate the plants from any chance of touching the soil. I'll caution you, when you come home from the garden center, you got these tiny little baby plants, and they're in one of those paper boxes you get at the garden center, and you set them down on the ground by your bales, and you're getting ready to plant, and they tip over and they touch the soil. They just got soil on the leaves, and that soil could be infected with spores. So you just infected them before you ever planted them. So just be careful. When you bring them home, don't touch the soil. Don't let them touch the soil. Keep them on top of the bales so that you don't have that contact, because that's the only way it can spread, is to get last year's spores from the soil onto the leaves of this year's plant. That's why when you plant them in a regular garden, as soon as it rains or you turn your sprinklers on, it splashes a little soil up on those bottom leaves, and boom, you got the disease in your plant that quick. And that's how it spreads so quickly.
Laura, thank you again for calling. You can join in too. Open lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Listener wondered if you could use last year's straw as mulch, and
yeah.
I don't see why you couldn't. That's not a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes beautiful mulch. Yeah, absolutely. Around perennials or annuals or around other vegetables in your traditional garden.
Yeah, Phoebe emailed to ask if you could put a straw bale instead of soil in a raised bed with legs.
Absolutely. People do it all the time. A lot of times I get calls from people, they'll have just built a raised bed. And first they yell at me for not telling them about this before they spend all the money to build the raised bed. But the problem with building a raised bed is it's not the expense of building the bed. It's the expense of buying the media to fill up the raised bed. You know, buying compost is not inexpensive. It's heavy and it's a lot of work. Shoot, you can pop 3 or 4 straw bales into that raised bed, and next year they'll decompose a little bit. You put new ones on top. In 4 or 5 years, you'll have that whole raised bed filled with the most beautiful broken down straw, makes the most beautiful soil in that raised bed, and nice drainage, etc. A few more years go by, then you're going to have the problems come with raised beds, which is drainage issues, which is disease or insects, and the worst of all, weeds.
Oh, man. A listener emailed to ask if they could use bulbs in bales, and how do you choose a good bale?
How do you choose a good bale? Look for tight bales. Those are the important. The heavier, the better when you're buying straw bales, because that determines the compression. So you want bales that are tightly compressed. Every farmer sells them by the bale, but that doesn't really mean a lot, because I've seen bales that are, you know, half the size and half the compression as another bale. Well, you're probably getting 4 times as much straw in one guy's bale versus the other one. So look for tight bales, ones that are a little heavier. But basically any bales will work. You know, you can use bales of hay. If you can't find straw bales, use a bale of hay. That'll work too. They all decompose the same way. You know, they don't hold moisture quite as well, the hay bales as the straw bales. And you'll see that they decompose a lot faster. So usually it's hard to get a second year of the structure of that bale. So, you know, you're probably going to end up using more bales more often if you use hay bales. And usually hay bales in our part of the world, they're more expensive than straw bales. So that's why people like to stick with straw bales. They're usually a little cheaper. Although they are getting expensive nowadays, too. Boy, $5 or $6 now to buy a bale of straw. It used to be $2. Everybody blames me, though, Larry, for causing that problem.
And the bulbs, can we put bulbs in there?
Oh, yeah. I grow gladiolus bulbs. I grow dahlias. I grow, You know, you can reproduce if you're a perennial grower, you can reproduce perennials in there. You know, you get friends that come over and always want to steal from your hosta bed. They want to steal a couple slices of your hosta. Well, if you put a couple slices in a bale, you'd be amazed how many hosta you can get out of that by the end of the season, because they reproduce very rapidly inside of that bale. So it's a good way to reproduce perennials as well. But any bulbs, you know, the great thing about growing in there is gladiolus bulbs in particular, they'll bloom really early because of the warmth from the bale. So they're not like the cold soil. It takes forever to get going. If you get warm, the bales are hot right away. So you shove 50 gladiolus in one bale, and you're going to use this as a cut flower garden. You're going to cut them off and put them in vases, bring them in the house. You're probably not going to put this in your front yard as a display garden. I mean, you probably could, but not even I do that. You know, I grow sunflowers, lots of sunflowers in bales, because they make really nice cut flowers. You make big vases of sunflowers and give them away. You know, whenever you go to someone's house in the summer, bring them a big vase of sunflowers or whatever flowers you've grown. That's a really nice gift to give people. So I encourage people to do that in a bale.
Sue in Gleason emailed that she's made her own pine straw bales for the last 2 years and had good success, especially with carrots. While the pine straw works good, the bales are smaller and fall apart. She said her husband built the Bale Maker 300. So this year she's considering also buying straw bales. Her question is how to deal with chemicals that might have been used to grow those bales. How quickly does it leach out? What have you encountered relating to residue chemicals?
I can tell you in all the years I've been doing this and all the bales I've used and bales people I know have used, we haven't had any experience with a problem from chemical residue in bales. And here's the reason, is because bacteria eat hydrocarbon chains. They metabolize the carbon. That's what their job is in nature, is to break down carbon. So all herbicides are made of hydrocarbon chains. And so if there was any residue left on that bale, that bacteria is going to eat that residue as a source of food. So it's sort of bacteria cleaning up our messes of herbicides and other things that we use. Bacteria come in and clean that up for us. So, you know, worst case scenario, Larry, would be a bale of hay, because it's not labeled for use on straw. But if you got a bale of hay and it happened to come from a pasture that wasn't supposed to be baled, because it's not labeled for that either, but if somebody used an amino rallid or a cloppy rallid, which are two forms of herbicide that are very prone to linger from one year to the next. In that scenario, if you were to happen to get one of those bales and you planted vegetables in it, it's not going to produce anything. Or the vegetables are going to come out, they're going to be all contorted and weird-shaped. You're not really going to produce any normal-looking vegetables. You would be very suspect, and you wouldn't eat those anyway. Nobody would eat those, and you would be very cautious. If you look up on the manufacturers of those herbicides, the way that they suggest you clean up any problems of residue like that is to thoroughly compost the organic material, which is exactly what we're doing in a straw bale. We're thoroughly composting it. So within the next season, those bales would probably be completely cleaned up from that bacteria and then would produce normal vegetables again. I probably would just throw them away. If I ended up with one of those bales that gave me weird-looking vegetables coming out of it, I'd probably just toss it away. But it's something to be, you know, aware of, but don't be concerned by it. You know, the stuff you buy at a supermarket, you've got a lot worse chance of getting something that's got some weird sprays on it than growing your own in a straw bale. So I would worry a lot less about that and encourage people to grow their own, for sure.
Steve in Menominee has a question for you. Steve, hello.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. Have a question. Just wondering, sorry if you covered this, but what time of year is a good time to start conditioning the bale? Say, for like the blood meal, I'm in zone 4B up in Menominee.
Okay, that's a great question, Steve. Here's what I would recommend. Look up your zip code. You can use the Google for this, and you find out when is your average last frost date, where your zip code is. Then I want you to count backwards 20 days. So we're going to start the conditioning process 20 days before your average last frost. Now, if you're using blood meal, it's going to take 18 days. So you're going to be planting 2 days before your average last frost. That doesn't mean 2 days before your record last frost. It's your average. So if you happen to put a tomato in that bale and it's still got really cold outside, below freezing, remember that bale is warm. The bale is going to be warm. It's going to put a little orb of energy around it, that heat energy coming out of the bale, so it's going to protect that tomato. In our books, we talk about making a little slider plastic that goes over the bale. It's like making a little tent over the top. We're going to bale the trellis above the bales. On the bottom wire of that trellis, we're going to drape some plastic over there. We call that the straw bale greenhouse. And you can pull that over top of your row of bales, and it'll protect those plants from a late spring frost if one happens to come through. All your other neighbors are going to be out there with their milk jugs and their pajamas, you know, covering with sheets over the top. You know, the 10 o'clock news comes on and tells you it's going to freeze tonight. Everybody's freaking out in their gardens. And you don't have to worry, because all you got to do is go out and pull that little plastic right down over the row of bales, and your plants will be tucked in nice and comfortably, even if it gets down into the mid-20s overnight. Your bales will be just fine.
There you go, Steve. Thank you so much. Joel Karsten, our guest today, straw bale garden guru. It's great to have him with us for Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Joel Karsten, who knows a lot about straw bale gardening. He has a degree in horticulture, as a matter of fact, Bachelor of Science degree in horticulture from the University of Minnesota, but he's been doing this for about 25 years. It's great to have him here, and certainly look forward to your questions and comments. And we have some questions, so let's go to the phones. Dan in Marinette, we'll go to you now. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. I always look forward to Garden Talk. So the question I've got is, what's your best recommendation for keeping critters off of your straw bale garden We've got some voracious squirrels and bunnies in my neighborhood that just seem to chomp on everything that I plant, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Dan, and it's the gardener's ultimate nightmare, right, is all the pests and the critters that come and munch on your garden. It's not much different than a traditional garden. You know, you can fence and, you know, use those techniques. We have found that there are certain neighborhoods where the bunny rabbits are dumb, and there are some neighborhoods where the bunny rabbits are really smart. So the smart rabbits, they learn to jump up on top of the bales. But you'd be surprised how many people tell me, oh, the rabbits never jump on top of my bales. So if you've got a neighborhood with smart rabbits, you got to come up with a solution. And what seems to work really well, and you can try this, give this a try, is plastic forks. I want you to buy a box of plastic forks and stick them handle first around the edges of your bale. When that rabbit comes and jumps up on top of that bale, it's going to poke them, and they're going to jump back down. And you only need to do that or worry about the rabbits when your seedlings are real small. You know, if you have 50 little bean sprouts coming up out of a bale or a couple bales, that rabbit can come up, jump up on top of there, and when those sprouts are real small, man, they just go to town. It's like a buffet up there. They can eat the whole thing in one sitting. But by the time those beans are, you know, a foot or 2 foot tall, even if they jump up there, they're going to eat a few leaves off the bottom, and that's about all they're going to eat. So it's not going to kill your crop, per se. It's just going to prune it back a little bit when the rabbit comes along. So it's really that precarious time when your seedlings are just coming up that you need to worry so much about the rabbit. I'll tell you another thing that's worked for me are motion sensor sprinklers. You get these sprinklers, you poke in the ground, and they got a infrared sensor, and then something walks in front of them, and they turn on, and they spray a cold spritz of water, and that works for deer, and it also works for rabbits. And neighbor kids, works on them too. Keeps them out of your neighbor dogs and neighbor kids. But
works on you too if you forget.
Yeah, exactly. Gives you a heart attack if you forget about them. You know, you can also use, there's some hot sauces for, you know, the, what's the real, the stuff.
Capsaicin.
And peppers.
Capsaicin.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah, capsaicin. That works good for squirrels, they say. I don't use it. I plant enough stuff that if a squirrel comes and eats a little bit, I don't have to worry about it. That way, you know, I let the squirrels eat too. That's probably not, my grandma Josephine would be rolling over in her grave right now if she heard me say that, but because she was a defender of her garden. But I just plant a little bit extra, and that way I don't have to, you know, it doesn't break my heart if one of them gets eaten. I'll tell you a common problem when it gets really hot in Wisconsin in the summer, just like in Minnesota, when it gets 100 degrees out, if a squirrel doesn't have a source of fresh water, they'll come along and they'll bite a hole in the bottom of your tomato, and they'll let the water, the juice drip out of that tomato, and they'll drink it. So all they're looking for is a good drink of water. So a bird bath somewhere nearby where you got fresh water every day, that'll solve that problem, because they'd rather drink out of that fresh water out of that bird bath than have to bite your tomatoes. But if you don't give them a source of water, they'll bite a hole right in that tomato just to suck the juice out.
Oh, good points. I love that fork, that plastic fork idea. That's, I hadn't known that one before. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
thanks,
Dan. You gather them all up and use them again. So,
yeah. Owen in Wauwega, your turn. Hi, Owen. Oh, we lost Owen here, but you can join in too. 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions. Bill called to remind us that there's just as much plant mass underground as there is above ground.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, decomposition. You know, there's a lot of sequestered carbon down under the ground that people don't think about because you can't see under there. So, you know, Larry, this is the ideas network. We should talk about this driveway garden idea that we came out with. I think you guys put a picture of that on your website already.
Yeah, it is quite a picture. And let's see if I had it up and now I don't. Here it is.
Yeah, people can go there and see. What we did here, you know, I talk to a lot of audiences, and very often I'll get people who live in a condo or a townhouse or something. They'll say, you know, I don't really have room, and you know, I don't have a big space where I can plant a permanent garden or put bales out there. You know, all I got is my driveway. But if I could plant in my driveway, that would be great. But the problem if you plant in your driveway is how are you going to park in your garage, right? Or how are you going to get in and out of your driveway? So we designed a system. I actually designed this a couple of years ago to move to the horticulture building at the Minnesota State Fair, how it originally was designed. And what it is it's just two wooden bunks, you know, made out of 2x8s and 2x10s. And then we fill the bunks up with bales, so the bunks are only about 8 inches deep. And then we run these cattle panel arches up in the air and meet on the other side in another bunk. So we got bunks on both sides filled with bales, and we plant those bales with vines. You know, there's squash and there's tomatoes and other stuff planted. It crawls up over top of this arch, and you still can drive underneath this arch to park in your garage or back in and out. You know, you got to be careful so you don't hit the edges, but it makes just beautiful arch. But I'll tell you, you have to be prepared because you are going to get a whole bunch of people that are going to stop and knock on your door and want details about how to do this because it's just stunning. It's amazing when you drive by and you see this. It's something people have never seen before. And I even saw, we have some pictures. They're not on our website yet, but this lady sent us pictures of her with a table and chairs underneath her this big arch in her driveway. So she's sitting in the shade underneath there drinking her tea underneath this driveway garden arch. So it's pretty amazing stuff. We have a PDF of how to build it. If people go to our website, you can get that for free on our website at strawbalegardenclub.com.
Strawbalegardenclub.com. Yeah, and in the meantime, if you want a photo, to see a photo, just to go to WPR.org. Slash Larry, and you're going to see it. It's amazing and beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty cool. People, I had one set up at the Minnesota State Fair. We didn't have the fair last year, but the year before, and we got 60,000 people that walked through our display, Larry, at the State Fair. And we had these archways. People could walk underneath the archway. There's cucumbers hanging from the roof. Hanging down, you know, the whole thing covered in vine. And I'd come in the morning and there'd be a bite out of one of my cucumbers in the tunnel. And I had a couple of gals volunteering with me. I said, should I take that down? I said, no, leave it up there. Because otherwise tonight somebody's going to come along and take another bite. I said, this way it takes the newness out of it, right? There's no novelty in taking a bite out of a cucumber if somebody already did it. So we left them hanging up there with the bite out of it.
Bill and Fond du Lac, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Larry and Joel. Yes, I never did straw bale gardening, but I just could tell me the procedure, how you would start. After you heat up your bale with using urea or nitrogen after it cools down, I grow my own peppers and tomatoes, and when they're ready to be set out, what do you do actually with the bale or with the plants in straw bale gardening when they're ready to be transplanted outside?
You got to make a hole in the bale and stick the root ball in there. It's pretty simple. You know, I do tell people if you want to use a handful of potting mix or some sterile media of some kind, just to kind of heal in around the transplant, but you're going to just pop it out of the pot or the little, you know, if you buy them in cells and the little six packs, just pop them out, make a hole in the bale. Sometimes if the bales are really tight, sometimes you got to take a pliers and jab a pliers in there and pull a couple pliers full of straw out of the bale to get a hole started because they can be pretty tight. But once you get a little hole started, make it big enough to get your root ball in there. With tomatoes, you know, you can plant tomatoes really deep. So you can plant those basically as deep as you can make the hole. So there's a little tomato sticking out the top. Always leave two sets of leaves still sticking out the top of the bale. But you could pull the rest of the branches off and it'll grow roots out the sides of the branches or off the sides of the stem of that tomato. So you can bury that as deep as you can. And then put a little potting mix around it, water it in really good, and then stand back because it's going to grow so fast it'll hit you in the chin.
There you go, Bill. Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, I just dig in there with my hand sometimes, and you can just kind of spread it open a little bit and get it down as deep as you can. And then I'm with you. I like to get those tomato plants down there pretty deep, deeper than, you know, you might not if you were just planting it in the ground.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to do. You know, you can plant them a lot deeper. So.
Yeah, you can plant them a lot deeper. Well, I tell you what, somebody else wondered if you could plant out the side of a bale, and certainly I've done that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell people, use your shovel handle, because you're not going to use that shovel for anything else this summer. So use your handle of that shovel to punch a hole into the side of the bale. And that makes a nice size hole, you know, if you're planting from a flat, you know, with bedding plants, that you can shove that bedding plant way into that bale. So you get it, the roots down in the center of the bale, so it gets moisture. That's the trick. And flowers work really good. You know, you put in patience or petunias or something in the sides of the bales. If you want to dress it up, make it look pretty, you can do that as well. But I do all my herbs in the sides of the bales, Larry. I do basil and, you know, oregano and chives and everything right in the sides of the bales. If you're going to grow anything from seed, you can't put seeds in the sides of the bales. You know,
it's not going to work.
They're going to grow straight up. Yeah, they're going to grow straight up. So you got to put those in the top of the bale.
Joel Carsten, our guest today, he is the author of a number of books on straw bale gardening. Straw Bale Gardens Complete is the one that I have from Cool Springs Press. But there are others out there as well, and you can go to his website as well to see what's all there. Great to have Joel Carsten with us. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Our guest on Garden Talk today is Joel Carsten. He's the founder of Straw Bale Gardening. He has traveled across the world to help grow vegetables in areas that didn't have that option. And he's written a number of best-selling books on the topic. So what are your questions about using straw bale gardens? What new gardening methods are you trying out this season? What are your gardening questions? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Great to have you call in, or great to have you email. Well, Joel, Terry in Amherst emailed to ask if you mention what side of the bale to plant. She loves her straw bale garden. The first year went great, and she's anxious and eager to start the second year in 2021. Oh, we lost Joel here for a second. Well, I can answer that question while we try to get him back. The bale itself should not be, it should be on the scratchy side up. you don't want the flat side. You want the scratchy side up. And sometimes it's a good idea to use some stakes or have something kind of lean up against it. They won't tip over that way. Once those tomato plants, for example, get bigger, they're going to get heavy and the wind can blow them around a little bit. I've got mine right up against, almost right up against the house, not quite up against the house, but almost right up against the house. And I haven't had any trouble, but it's not a bad idea to stake them in. Tell you what, don't plant them with the flat side down. Have that scratchy side up. I wonder if we got Joel back yet. Maybe we have him back. Okay, we're getting him back. A listener emailed to ask if it's okay to dig a 4 or 5 inch trench for the bale to hold it in place throughout the summer. And I think that'd be all right. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't work 4 or 5 inches down. He's kind of listened to me extolling the virtues of straw bale gardening for a long, long time. And he tried it in the year before last, and he was absolutely amazed that it really worked. So that's kind of nice to hear. It surprises me how many tomatoes, for example, you can get out of one plant when it's grown in a straw bale and done the proper way. And Joel's back. Joel, you with us here?
You bet. I'm back.
Good. It's good that you're here. We've got a listener email to ask, and I said it was probably okay, but let me get your take on this. A 4 or 5 inch trench for the base, for the bale to hold it in place. He wanted to just dig out 4 or 5 sure. inches. I didn't see sure. any problem with it.
Yeah, no, that won't hurt anything. It's a little extra work, but it won't hurt anything for sure.
Yeah. Gail in Menominee Falls, let's go to you. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been using ground up eggshells to eradicate the problem of blossom end rot with my tomatoes that I've planted in containers in soil. And it's really worked very well for me. I had almost no blossom end rot last year. So, I'm hearing such great things about straw bale gardening for tomatoes. And I was wondering, can I use the ground eggshells for the calcium supplement in a straw bale situation for tomatoes?
Could. I don't know okay. if you need it, but well, Joel.
Yeah, that's a good question, Gail, and it's controversial. usually there's plenty of calcium present. It doesn't take much calcium at all. But the two things that will cause blossom end rot are calcium and magnesium, believe it or not. So both of those are present in the straw bale. Where do they come from? They come from the decomposing straw. So it took some molecules of calcium and magnesium to build the cells that created the wheat or the oats or whatever is in that bale. And so once that decomposition begins, those microbes are going to break down the cells of that straw and make those molecules available again. Now, the key is water. It's really important because both magnesium and calcium, like nitrogen, are soluble. So you need to have water present in order for the tomato to take it up. But you also don't want to put too much water on because that'll tend to leach it out. So that's where that magic amount of water that you put on the bales is really important. It's why I encourage people, whenever you apply water to a straw bale in a straw bale garden, only put on 1 gallon per application. Now, you may need to increase the numbers of applications as the summer gets hot and the tomato plant grows or the other plants grow and get big. It might use more water. So now you're going to increase the frequency of how often you water instead of every other day or every 3 days. Now you're going to go once a day. You may end up in the middle of summer when it's really hot, have to set your little hose end timer to go off 3 times a day, but it's only going to go off for a few minutes. So you just put 1 gallon on at a time. If you water 3 separate times during a day and you put 1 gallon on each time, that is not the same thing as watering once a day, 3 gallons, because much of that 3 gallons you put on at one time is going to wash through and out of the bale. And that's what's going to cause a problem with your calcium. You know, it takes a long time for eggshells to break down and become available for a plant to absorb. So unless you really ground them super fine and had them there for quite some time, there's some studies you can read on this where it takes up to 3 years for eggshells to become available, to have their calcium become available. So it may just be that you're paying closer attention and you're monitoring your watering better in your gardens, especially your containers, where you're not overwatering, but you're also not letting the plants dry out. And that's probably going to be more important than adding any kind of supplement. Now, I do talk about throwing a Tums in the bottom of the hole because Tums are a lot more soluble. You know, they're made to be absorbed in our system, and they have calcium in them. And so those are more soluble, so you might get by throwing a couple of Tums tablets in the bottom of that planting hole. That might help even more than the eggshells.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Gail, for calling. Let's go to Luann in East Troy. Hi, Luann.
Hi, guys. Hello. Thanks for the show. I'm wondering, I know plants get their nutrients from the soil, but if they're not in soil, they're in straw. Does that change the nutrition of the food you're growing in it?
That's a good question. And that's an illusion. You know, people think you're growing in straw. You're not. The straw is becoming soil. That's the magic thing. The conditioning process we go through where we encourage the growth of microbes, those microbes are what metabolizes the straw and turns it into soil. Remember, all black dirt you see out in the fields, whatever, that all came from decomposed organic material over, you know, thousands, millions of years to create that layer of humus on the top of the surface of the earth. And that's all we're doing in this bale is we're accelerating that process. We're getting that straw to metabolize quickly and become soil. So biologically, it has many of the same characteristics as very rich, highly organic humus, which is what plants love to grow in. So the interior of that bale, right down in the core, the center of that bale, once those microbes get fired up, you got insects, you got worms, you got fungi, you got mold all working together, and it's all decomposing that straw, and it's turning it into soil. So does it taste different? No. The plants will taste, the vegetables will taste exactly like they do when you grow them in soil. The carrots still taste like dirt, even though you grow them in a straw bale. They still have that same taste, that minerally taste. And, you know, people will even tell me that their tomatoes, they think, taste better. Now, it's impossible because a tomato will only absorb what a tomato will absorb in terms of nutrients. So if the nutrients aren't present, certainly it can grow goofy or it cannot grow as big. But if a tomato grows, it's usually it's going to be exactly the same taste. So I wouldn't worry about that at all.
There you go, Luann. Al in Bayfield County, your turn. Hi, Al.
Hi. I have a number of things that I've been hearing about straw bales. I want to use some straw brush pile.
Oh, you're breaking up, Al.
Okay, I'm here. Okay. But
you want to use straw bales around a pond, you said?
Yeah. And where can I find those straw bales? Nobody seems to be making them in my area. And is it too late? I was told that straw bales work better in the fall so that they can decompose over the winter.
Okay, a couple of good questions. Where can you find straw bales? I'll tell you what, when you become a straw bale gardener, you'd be surprised how many straw bales you'll see. That always happens. When you start looking for them, then you start to see them. You know, you'll drive by the car dealership in the fall, and you'll see they got a nice Halloween decoration out there, something for Thanksgiving. And the first thought that goes through your head is, I wonder what they're going to do with those bales when Thanksgiving is over, right? So you'll start to see straw bales, and you can always find them on Craigslist. A lot of farmers will advertise there. Facebook has a marketplace, and a lot of farmers put them on there. We have a free website called strawbalemarket.com, and that's a place where farmers can put bales for sale or people can put want ads for bales. It's just to connect people up. There's no cost or anything like that. You can just buy and sell straw bales from each other, but it's just hooking people together basically is all we do. You can check your garden center. Garden centers very often will carry straw bales. If you're only looking for a couple, that's a good place to go. You know, they're going to be a little marked up, but that's okay. If you're looking for a 50 of them or 100 of them, like some people start, then you're going to have to find a farmer. And the way to find a farmer that has straw bales is to find another farmer, because all the farmers know each other. Just like if you want to find a teacher, you find a teacher, they know all the other teachers. And the nurses know all the other nurses. Farmers know all the other farmers. Another good place is go to the farmer's elevator. You bring them a box of donuts, and those guys will tell you anything you want to know. They'll tell you who grew wheat last year, who grew oats, you know how good their harvest was, and they'll tell you who's the guy to talk to that's got square bales. And they may not even advertise them. You know, they may keep them in the barn and use them for, you know, who knows what. But farmers will, you know, if they grew wheat or they grew oats, they're going to have some straw. Unless they plowed it under, they're going to have some straw bales. So you just got to use a little detective work, and you'd be surprised how many you'll come up with. And farmers are smart. Believe me, if bales start selling for $7, $8 a bale like they are now, they can make more money off their wheat ground selling bales for $8 than they can make selling the wheat itself. So, you know, a farmer is a smart guy. The reason they've all went to these big round bales is because it takes more labor. You know, they got to hire a guy to ride on that rack back there and stack the bales up. So if they don't have two guys or two sons or something home to do their baling for them, then they get a big round baler. And, you know, big rounds will work too. If you've got a way to move them around, people in town are going to be at a loss here because you got to have a loader tractor or something to move around. But if you're a farmer out there and you got some big old round bales that are starting to get wet or rotten, you can cut those in half with a chainsaw and make two donuts that are waist high each, and they make beautiful straw bale gardens for about three seasons. So you can use those as well.
Very, very cool. Al, good luck. I hope you find some straw bales. Jeff in Suamico, your turn. Hi.
Hello there, Larry and Joel.
Hi.
I did straw bales last year for the first time. I had about 30 bales, and I picked them up at the yard waste dump at the end of my road, and this year there are none. I think people are picking them up as soon as somebody drops them off. But at any rate, I tried to do the organic method, and I used Norgonite, and I'm noticing that the bales, I left them in place over the winter, they didn't really decompose that well in the middles, and I had huge vegetative growth on most of my plants, and especially the tomatoes, but not a lot of fruiting. So I'm wondering, is there something else I should be using as far as the fertilizer to condition the bales?
Well, Milorganite actually works pretty well. You know, we've done some studies with different, comparing different fertilizers, and Milorganite's been one of our best performers. The thing about Milorganite is it's a little bit higher in nitrogen. It's about, if I remember right, it's 8 or 10% nitrogen. I'm not positive, but it's right around 8%. So it's a little more nitrogen than you'd get in a typical organic type fertilizer. So you might want to use a little less. If you're getting lots of vine growth for crops and not a lot of fruiting, it's probably the presence of too much nitrogen. Yep. And that often happens if you put too much nitrogen on your garden. You get lots of vegetative growth and no fruits. So that's a sign. But don't be afraid to use that. You know, Milorganite's a controversial topic. I know, you know, some people don't like it. Some people love it. It's very controversial. I know it's made over there in Wisconsin. And you can look it up and you can read about it and decide for yourself what you want to do. But I think it's a good product. I think it's safe to use. You know, if you use it on your soil year after year after year in a vegetable garden, it's going to potentially accumulate some heavy metals and things that people are worried about. But you know what? Bales, we're going to use them a year, maybe 2 years, and then we're done. So you're not going to get an accumulation of a lot of heavy metals or anything in there to necessarily worry about. And the other thing about Milorganite is it'll kind of build up like a crust on top of the bales, like a, you know, it kind of gets a, it doesn't wash in real easily into the bale. And that's okay. People don't need to worry about that. They'll stand there for 20 minutes with the hose trying to wash it all in, and you're actually doing more harm by watering so long with cold water. You know, you're cooling off, you're chilling those bales, you're washing all the bacteria out of the bales. Just a little bit of moisture, even if it doesn't all wash into the bales, that's okay. What can help is poking a few holes in the bale. You know, you take a stick and you kind of punch some holes and then pour the Milorganite down those holes. And that gets it down more where the bacteria are, down in the center. And it won't smell as bad that way too. Because some of these organics, you know, blood meal and, you know, that's protein. That's pure blood.
Yeah.
And I'll get calls from these gals and they'll say, oh my goodness, my garden smells like dead animals. I say, that's because you put blood from a dead animal on your bale. This is Mother Nature at work, you know. It's part of the natural process of decomposition.
All right, Jeff, thanks for calling. Linda in Madison, we'll go to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mine is about I did a straw bale a couple of years ago with tomato, and it rained a lot, and also the straw bale was in the area where I was just watering every week, you know, the landscape. And so it kind of was falling apart before the summer was over. So, like, I think it got just way too much water and decomposed too much.
Yep. Yeah, that'll happen. If you can either change out your sprinkler head, so you can put one on there that you can adjust so it doesn't hit the straw bale. That's a good way to do it. You know, your sprinkler guy can change one of those heads out and put a different head on there so it doesn't get over and sprinkle your garden. Or move it somewhere where it's not getting hit by that regular, you know, sprinkler every morning that goes off and waters the lawn and then gets your bale too wet as well. Overwatering, that'll cause that problem. You know, it's all it's doing is it's It's flushing all the, if you imagine little tiny soil particles growing inside of that bale, and then you come along and put a bunch of water on top and wash them out. So inside of that bale is just eroding away constantly, and pretty soon the whole bale just kind of collapses in. And, you know, that's not a good situation. So limit the water, and you'll see that your bales will stay structurally sound a lot longer. Just 1 gallon every time you apply water. That's it.
Thank you very much, Linda. Appreciate it. Joel, you've submitted to exhibit at an expo in Dubai. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
talk about that expo a little.
Well, the World Expo, you know, takes place instead of what they used to call the World's Fair. Now they name it after the place where it's going to be. So it's called the Dubai Expo 2020, but that didn't happen in 2020. So now it's 2021. But yeah, there's exhibits from all over the world and, you know, different techniques for clean water, clean air, you know, how to feed more people, hungry people, just all kinds of things that people come up with around the world, different ideas. And there's supposed to be 50 million visitors to that Dubai Expo, but you know, with COVID, I don't know that's necessarily going to happen. So it was, we were super excited about it before, but I don't know anymore. So we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah. That's a long trip. What were you going to have? Just
a
set up with your bales?
Demonstration garden. Yep. Yeah. Just like we did at the, you know, Minnesota State Fair or other places like that. It's just over there. It's a desert climate, you know, so they're very arid. So it's like our weather in Arizona, you know, or Southern California, hot and dry and not a lot of rain. But straw bale gardening thrives in those areas. As long as you have a little irrigation, you know, that's, it's beautiful soil that's created in that bale versus planting in the clay. You know, a foot thick of sand or clay doesn't give you a very good garden, but you can put bales right on top of the ground and have a beautiful garden. So
I know you've done a lot of international work on this, and the growth of it internationally, how has it taken off?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, places in the world, Larry, where gardening is not a hobby like it is for you and I. You know, if our tomato plants didn't work out, we still got $20. We're going to go down to the supermarket or go to the farmer's market. We're going to get some tomatoes, right? But there are parts of the world where if your crops don't produce, your family is going to suffer because of that. And these people don't take new ideas lightly, you know, because they're reliant upon this. So most of the places we go, places like the Philippines and in other places, we have to put demonstration gardens out there because until people see it for themselves, you know, you can show them pictures all day long, but they want to see proof in person themselves before they're going to trust you. But we've gained a lot of trust. We got a lot of people in some of these very poor countries. Cambodia is another one where we've done a lot of work and where people really need ideas like this. You know, our solution for solving world hunger is not a permanent solution. You can't just keep shipping food and, you know, over to these people. You need to teach them how to use the resources that they have locally so that they aren't reliant upon other people. Because as soon as they're reliant on their government or on other governments to provide them food, it takes away their freedom and their independence. And the way to resolve these hunger problems permanently is to teach people how to feed themselves. And that's what our objective is.
Well, Joel, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the next time we visit. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you.
Joel Karsten, his book, Straw Bale Gardens. Great to have him with us today, and great to have you listening. Vijay Pandian joins us next week for Garden Talk. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.